hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me, in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife. Ooh, someone needs to silence their phone. Co-host.
This is not professional.
This is from our high school. Two important events are coming up. Tech Info Night is Thursday at 6 p.m. and Back to School Night is on Thursday as well. How are they going to have two events on the same night?
It's not the same night.
It says it is.
Back to School Night, I thought it was in September.
Families, two important events are coming up. Tech Info Night on Thursday, August 14th at 6 p.m. and Back to School Night on Thursday, the next week, on August 21st at 5:30 p.m. Please check your email for details. Do you guys know that?
Yes.
I know a lot of you guys are sitting here with your 5-year-olds or your 3-year-olds right now, and you're like, yeah, it's never going to get worse than this. And It's never going to get worse than this. Yeah, really? You ever get a text from your kid's high school?
You don't think the preschools are texting?
You're probably right.
No, they just emailed back in the day.
You ever get a text from your high school saying that your kid is currently below standards?
That'll wake you up.
Whoopsie daisy. Probably shouldn't have had you miss that extra 3 days of school so we could go on vacation.
No, the worst is when they call you.
Do you remember
the little sad face emoji on it?
Yeah. Do you remember when we were kids how hard it was to get a hold of our parents?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Our kids and their schools and their teachers have way too much access to us as parents.
Mm-hmm.
They know they can reach us at any time. If I needed to reach my father during work hours, because raised by a single parent, if I needed to reach my father, mm-hmm. I would have to get excused from the classroom, and then I would never do. I did this like once ever. And I would have to go to the office.
Yeah.
And then I would have to call his work line, which I just had memorized. And that was a warehouse that he worked in. He would not answer the phone. Don would not answer the phone. He'd be like, can I speak to Don Nickerson? And they're Don, like, we'll call him
Don.
They would call him on a thing. Yeah. Yeah. And if he was out on the ramp, then we'd just miss it. And I was like, can you tell him to call his son back? I don't feel very good. And then I would just hang out with a school nurse for 6 hours until my dad got the message.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, more. Text from your kid's high school.
Yeah, they text both parents. Yeah.
It's your fault for giving them my number.
I had to when I registered them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you get call, text, email, and then they've got the portals. Those are apps. And then you get like blasts, which are like text and email. And thankfully, they don't call anymore. They used to, every Friday night at like 6 p.m., they used to call with like a greeting, an update. Those were annoying. So now it's all.
It is a lot harder for like
your text and email.
Yeah,
yeah.
I can see why so many people switch to homeschool.
Yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah, well, and when you think about it, like our sixth grader has 7 teachers,
mm-hmm.
so they're all emailing us.
Yeah,
you know, like a weekly or a monthly or like updates and
it's too much.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I think is kind of crazy is, I mean. Like, we have a back-to-school night, like, while we're at college
drop-off. Well, dropping Joel off, in college,
So it doesn't, it gets, like, more confusing.
At a certain point, how many back-to-school nights do you need to go to?
I know. I mean, this parent sports meeting at the high school, it's every season. So the athletic director talks. And then then you meet with your coach, and we're, like, 10 deep at this point, you know, like, I don't, however many seasons Joel competed, like, it'd be 12 if he did every, so it was probably like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't always do a winter sport.
It's
a lot. That's a lot.
I'll tell you, man, 18 years into parenting, I can't do another back to school night. I can't do it. Mel. They're the same. If you've been to one, you've been to all of them. They're the same. You go say hi. You go, and then you go. We gotta go have the PE teacher cool. You're every PE teacher I've ever met. Great. We checked out their uniform. Well, we did this thing.
Some things do not change. And
here comes the PTA president. Great. Great. So glad to see you here. I've said this before. I'm going to go on this.
Are you going to do this? Because there's a new thing where you're supposed to not make fun of the PTA. Because
really?
They're just volunteers. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. My favorite moment as a volunteer via the PTA was when I was at an elementary school event on a Friday night, and PTA had asked parent volunteers to like hand out or sell pizza.
Yeah.
Right? So it was like Little Caesars. We're supposed to do $1 a slice. And I was told, or maybe it was Costco, I was told to cut the pizza in half.
Okay.
And serve it and charge $1 each.
Yeah.
And I had some really mad parents in me that were like, I'm paying $1 for half a slice of pizza. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't pick this.
No.
Like, I am just serving the pizza.
Well.
And cutting it up.
You're, okay. That's a perfect example. Because
volunteering gone wrong.
Yeah. This is what the PTA is. 90% of the PTA are lovely parents who are just there to try and help their kid and their kid's school. And 10% are parents who arrive at that school and go, how can I get a little power around here?
Use my volunteerism to
start pushing my agenda. How could I get the things that are important to me at this school going on, right? Mm-hmm. What events do I want? You know what? Let's change the mascot. Let's tear some statues down. Let's see if we can rename the school. Let's take that book in and let's take that book out. Let's get that teacher fired. That's 90% of everyone's like, hey, what should we do for the fall festival? And then this other 10% is like, this is my time to shine.
No, the other 10% is like, I don't believe in fall festivals.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. 90% of people, it is truly the parent teacher association, and 10% it is the power trip association. That's their PTA is, man, what if I was like not principal but like kind of principal?
Right.
You know how they always say like Dick Cheney was actually president when W was president? Mm-hmm. That's the head of the PTA. You're like, who's the principal? You're like, it's actually Shelley.
First road to being the mayor.
Yeah.
What's fun too is when they have the closed meetings. They're like, oh yeah, I know you're paid to be a member of the PTA, but you can't actually attend the meetings.
I'm telling you.
Closed PTA meetings.
Closed PTA meetings.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're just trying to figure out what movie we're going to watch at the parent movie kid night. Can you let us know when you release the black smoke and we found out it's going to be Ratatouille? Why is this so serious to you? We're all here. We're all just trying to...
We're in a cafeteria.
Yeah, man.
You know?
We can only hear Deborah suggest Passion of the Christ so many times.
We're all just here... trying to get a new playground built, man.
Or like a shade.
Yeah. Yeah, a shade over the playground. We're all just here trying to get some new four square balls. We're all just here. Mm-hmm. We're all doing the same thing. We're all here trying to get a new carpet in the library.
Mm-hmm. And library you're trying, always needs new carpet.
Yeah, 90% of people are trying to get a new carpet in the library, and 10% of the people are trying to get certain books out of the library. You're like, hey, man.
I going to cause a lot of stir
year? And they're like, actually, if you give Moose a muffin, we'll just make your kid be an entitled brat. And you're like, that's the moral of the story. Did you read to the end? Read to the end.
It's an allegory.
Yes. The moose is not a good guy. Anyways.
The PTA is the moose.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Whoa. Paul is the walrus. You get that one. Guys, I got some upcoming shows that you got to check out. This weekend, I'm at one of the best, if not the very best comedy club in the country, Comedy on State, in Madison, Wisconsin. Next weekend, 8/28 through 30, I'm at the Comedy Club at Duckworth in Charlotte. We just added a fifth show for that. Did you know that? We're doing three shows on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, so...
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah, so I'm there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then I go to Greensboro on Sunday. And they're mm-hmm. like, well, we should just add a Wednesday. And I was like, I can't add a Wednesday because there's like a volleyball game. There's something going on the 29th, probably a back-to-school night. And I was like, and honestly, I think my fans are more likely to show up at a 3 p.m. on Saturday than mm-hmm. they will on a 8 p.m. on a Wednesday. So... Anyways, come out to Charlotte, maybe Greensboro. Into the fall, New York Comedy Club, not in New York. It's Stamford, Connecticut, mm-hmm. September 26th or 27th. Then we go into October. The 3rd, I'm in Murray, Kentucky at the Kentucky Comedy Festival. The 4th, I'm in Somerville, Massachusetts at the Arts of the Armory. The 9th through 11th, the Punchline in San Francisco. 16th through 18th, the Comedy Club of Kansas City. The 25th, the Neptune Theater. That is selling very fast in Seattle. The 26th, mm-hmm. we added a second show in Corvallis, Oregon. And then the rest of the fall, Nashville, San Diego, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Brooklyn, New Brunswick, January. And we've got Dallas on sale, Houston on sale. More coming soon. Mm-hmm. Actually, a bunch more coming soon, but... Check us out. If you haven't left some reviews or comments, do you mind flipping back to the doc there, buddy? Okay, so we got this. This is from our Facebook group, Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans. Mm-hmm. This is from Jessica. Raising Kids with Leanne Morgan was an excellent episode, but poor choice for the drive to drop our oldest off at college. Please learn from my mistake.
Oh, so sorry, Jessica. Yep, we're in the exact same boat.
Yeah.
So
today's episode, because I really like one of these questions, we're going to talk about what somebody asked us, what it was like when the transitions, what was the hardest from going from 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3.
Kids.
So we're going to talk about that. Yeah, mm-hmm. kids. And then cars, homes. We're up to 3 now.
Yeah.
It's not true. We have one we rent and a shed in the back. And next week, we're probably going to talk about the opposite, what it was like from going from in your house, 3 kids to 2 kids, because we mm-hmm. go and drop Joel off to college literally later today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But real quick, I was just going to plug, we had a really nice Patreon Zoom last night.
Yeah.
So we'll have another one in September. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll post the date. We'll have the date in a couple days. And, certain levels get to join our Zoom, monthly Zoom. You get meet and greets at shows.
Some merch discounts.
Merch discounts. Behind the scenes every week.
Annual cameo.
Yeah.
Video cameo.
Christmas card. All kinds of fun little extra perks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun last night. I was asking them, like, we had a Zoom with, like, 12 or ish, maybe around there.
Yeah.
Patrons, and, like, 3 of them are going on the cruise. The Nateland cruise in February.
Right. Yeah.
So that's pretty fun.
It was one of the first ones we've done where we've done a couple when I've been on the road, but it was a very busy Monday. We'll get into weekend recap. But yeah, you were at home, man in the chair, and I was at Kung Fu in the
mm-hmm.
car. So,
mm-hmm.
which I think our fans would fully expect us to be.
It worked. It's better if like the person like running the Zoom is home.
You want a laptop for the person in charge of the Zoom.
A laptop is kind of ideal for someone to have.
This comment is from mm-hmm. Sarah. This is also in the Facebook group. Parenting ADHD is no joke. My 11-year-old has decided to bake, but she refuses to let me teach her because ADHD hates instructions.
Mm-hmm.
The first time she mixed up cups with tablespoons. That's a big miss. And added tiny amounts of several ingredients. So that's hilarious that I got that wrong. Yeah, yeah. Added tiny amounts of several ingredients. We had
dash of flour.
Yeah, we had hockey puck cupcakes. The next time she forgot an ingredient beside it, it still tasted good. Melissa, you are such a good wife to an ADHD spouse. It can be so difficult to explain to someone without ADHD. You sounded like you truly understand and are sympathetic.
Well, that's very sweet of her. And I feel the struggle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
because our daughter was very excited about baking and it was the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as I have said before, that was the one way that one of our kids with ADHD learned, fractions, like a half a cup.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually see it, and it's like you're either going to have a hockey puck or a brownie. It was like we tried all these like graphs and pizza slices and like nothing stuck. Like fractions are tricky. But actually she kind of figured it out. She was like, oh.
There you go. Well, I've told you know this story, but the one time I ever entered a baking competition, it was like a church function in like 10th grade, 11th grade.
Event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a dessert bake-off.
Yes.
And my dad had a cookbook and I was motivated for whatever reason. I was like, I want to get in on this. And they had a recipe for homemade Reese's peanut butter cups. And I was like, all right, I'll give this a try. I think we have all these things in our house. We have peanut butter, we have chocolate. That's the main stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually like nailed the recipe, but.
Can get out of the pan.
You don't remember why? So, because you had to freeze them. You had to put them in the freezer for a while. And I put them in for way too long and didn't take, then you were supposed to, you're supposed to take them out before you'd serve them. So there was like 30 entries at this thing, and I did end up getting third because Kim Busmeyer is just a name that means something to you and eight people who listen to this podcast. I remember it so vividly. She goes, so there was this like peanut butter chocolate thing that was really hard to cut and get into, but it was so good, and it got third place. But I was like, it was just a very ADHD thing. I was like, I forgot to take it out of the freezer.
Yeah, this is bringing back memories of slime. A lot of slime recipes gone wrong.
You got younger. Is slime still a thing?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Making slime or even like bouncy balls, like all kinds of weird chemical combinations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter made so much bad slime. And Orbeez, that was like an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, like nail polish, like acrylics. Just messy projects that required a lot of steps, and but she had fun with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a mess. It was a mess, and they usually didn't work out.
Yeah.
But,
slime had a real big era.
Yeah, now they have slime factories.
Yeah.
Like, where you can go make slime, or at least buy it or mix stuff in it.
You would be the mom. You're like, we can make slime at home.
We have slime at home.
What are you? What's going to be next? A bubble factory?
Crayon factory?
We can make these things at home. What are the, pull up the picture. What are these crazy little demon dolls that are so popular right now?
Lala Boo Boos?
Lala Paloozas?
Demon dolls?
No.
What? I'm sorry. I'm reading your Lala Flubu or
Lala Flubu.
I don't know what these
Lulu.
Are.
L-E. Yeah, you have no idea.
Just
let
type
me see
in,
if I can.
Weird dolls that are popular right now.
They're keychains too. Oh.
Lala Boo Boo.
I was close.
Is that right?
Oh, there it is. It's a it's a book character. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
La Boo Boo. Yes.
It's a line of collectible plush toys created by Hong Kong illustrator Cassine Lung.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
They're huge.
These are very popular right now.
And the reason I had Flubu is like you can also, that's like the fake, the knockoff. La Boo Boo. I don't really know how to say it.
These are very trendy right now.
But if you are out and about, you're going to see these on keychains, backpacks, purses. There a lot of people have them in their cars,
Gen Z thinks it's so cool, and I'm like, you guys, we had Where the Wild Things Are. This is Where the Wild Things Are, right? These are what
it's like a troll. Remember,
but we didn't have, but it wasn't like a physical thing. Yeah. We had the book. This
you're
is
right,
like Tamagotchi. This
yeah.
is like Furby.
No, Mel said this right. This is trolls.
Yeah.
This is trolls.
I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah, you like
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I like seeing him around. Uh-huh. Because that, I mean.
You like seeing him around?
I like seeing him around.
It gives you like a garden gnome vibe. You're like, oh, look, there's one.
Yeah.
I was on a volleyball trip. I had some 10, 11, and 12-year-olds in my hotel room. And someone had a fake one, which I guess is a she had a fake one and she threw it in the hallway.
Oh gosh.
She wanted, and then she peered through the peephole and she wanted another volleyball team to find it and be like, oh my gosh, we found one. So it was kind of like an Easter egg.
Yeah.
She threw it out of the room and
that's
then
fun.
Was waiting to see who would find it and how excited they would be
yeah.
to find it. So, yeah, it's very much a trend. We'll see how long it lasts. I don't know. I think it's kind of fun to watch.
Well, yeah, we have been parenting long enough that I don't really go up or down with trends. I'd be like, cool, there's a new fidget spinner.
I saw a guy in the airport using a kendama.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Which was like the little wooden ball that
you remember
on the
like,
string.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah.
they were like
the ice cream cone one.
Everybody had to have
rage.
One, yeah.
All the rage. And, you know, I like a trend and a fad. It's fun.
And this will...
It's like, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's a keychain.
Yeah, and this will run its course, and you know the trend is officially over when you can get it at, like, a real estate company's booth at a convention.
Yes.
That's when this trend will be over.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to the fidget spinner.
And the belt bags.
Right next to the, yeah.
Once that company's logo is slapped on its rear.
That's exactly it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you're like, oh no, I can't use this anymore.
And can you imagine being.
Stanley Cups.
Yeah. What is it called again?
Labubu.
Labubu.
Yeah, can you imagine being a millennial and trying to judge Labubus?
We had Beanie Babies.
We had Beanie Babies. We had trolls. Can you be like, this thing's a joke. I hate this. Back in my day, what we did is we had Tamagotchis. We had little living creatures that we tried to keep alive that we had to feed every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all have trends. These things, they come and go. We like little knickknacks and patty wax and things we take around.
Chia.
Yeah, chia. Chia was big there for a minute.
The pets, not the food.
We tried. My generation tried to bring back lava lamps.
Oh, yeah.
In a big way, we tried to. Yeah. So, you know, let these things come and go. And that song, Home, isn't that bad.
It's
quit bad-mouthing it.
Yeah.
Anyways, ADHD is hard. And that rant we just went on was pretty ADHD, I'm not going to lie. All right, let's go down a couple more. Okay, so this is nice. So these are comments that I wanted to read from Leanne's episode because people really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Christine said her goodbye when signing off was so wholesome and loving. I teared up. I love her. Lindsay said, I did too. Such a joy to see someone so kind. And Nate said, seriously, her true love for the Nickerson family. I'm not crying. You're crying. And then we have this next comment here from that episode. He talks too much.
This is a comment on the episode of Leanne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Thanks, Patty.
Thanks, Patty.
Hey, Patty. I'm assuming this is YouTube.
Yeah. Angry face emoji. And that comment got one like, by the way. So someone agrees with Patty.
She's like, I got a like. Oh,
that's the internet.
Much.
That's the internet right there. Oh, gosh.
You're like, my son's going to college. Dislike. Stop talking about this.
some small tangent. Just I may cut this, but like just the other day, I was like, oh, remember all those YouTube videos we did with my daughter? Like that got hundreds of thousands of views. I hadn't like gone back to that, and I went and looked. I was like, oh, comments are turned off. Oh yeah, that's because a bunch of racists got in there, started saying stuff.
Yeah,
but I turned them back on to basically find the same kind of comment of like someone had disliked the video, and then someone's like, who disliked this video?
It's
like,
so what funny. Is wrong with you? I had a, you know, it's funny is when, I don't know if this is interesting to people, but oftentimes content will do bigger in other places and like the, on different platforms. And the biggest platform for me when it comes to sports content is Twitter. Because that sports fans are on Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I did a dumb rant this week about some guy who's like, my life's more interesting than sports. And it did well on TikTok and it did okay on Instagram. It exploded on Twitter. It has like 500,000 views, which on Twitter, it's an incredible amount of views because stuff doesn't go as viral on Twitter. And yeah, like every 30th comment is someone going like, my life is more interesting than sports. Imagine caring about what other grown men are doing with their lives more than your own. And you're like, man, you just, this point just missed you altogether. Just
right.
all of it.
Right,
the,
right, right.
the whole point of what I'm saying is that athletes are humans. So these are human interest stories. Mm-hmm. This is not someone just kicking or throwing a ball. This is a human story. This is,
yeah, they just missed it.
Yeah. But they also like that person and Patty here needs to be heard. And she needs to be heard that she does not care how much I talk on this podcast that I created. And we've had help along the way. And you are my co-host. And Andy, you're a producer. And Andy was our producer before us. But, you know, I've been paying for this podcast for like 8 years. I commissioned the artwork.
Jingle,
yeah,
the
you know,
space,
I, you
the,
know, I,
the equipment.
I, it was kind of my vision from the get-go, Patty. It's really, it's become our baby. It was my baby, and now we're raising this child together. I'm co-parenting now, which is nice, but you know what? If Patty thinks I talk too much, she's right. In Patty's opinion, I talk too much. So, but let's do some other reviews here. If you guys haven't left us reviews, please do. This is a 5-star one from Spicy Tomato.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my thoughts are being read. Listening to this podcast feels like someone hacked my brain and turned my inner thoughts into a hilarious family podcast. 5 stars for making me feel seen and slightly called out. Melissa, why don't you read
the next one?
All
right. Love.
Because I talk too much on
this
podcast.
5 stars. Was hoping to win the 1K prize, but love them enough to give 5 stars without it. One of the only pods I listened to as soon as it comes out. Came for Dustin's comedy, but stayed for Mel's being Mel. Oh, that's nice. Violently Pink. Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right. Scroll down a little further there, my friend. I think we got some emails.
Okay.
You want to read this one, Mel?
Sure. This is from Elizabeth. Subject, family superhero movies. We finally went to see the Fantastic Four today as a family. My kids, 17-year-old boy and 14-year-old girl, both enjoyed it. So nice to have a movie that we could enjoy as a family. Dustin, yours and Mel's review helped us make the decision to go see it together. I also saw the Nerds Gummy Clusters, but refrain from indulging this time. Love the pod.
We need a sponsor. Not that they need our help, but...
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
We got a couple of our patrons to try them, and you're welcome, and we're sorry.
Yeah. No, mostly just you're welcome. This one here is from Gracie. Gracie Joe. I don't want to say your full name, so I think you might be a Gracie Joe. Mm-hmm. Subject, chocolate hummus. A couple of months ago, I heard Mel mention she likes pretzels and hummus. Has she discovered dark chocolate hummus? Delicious.
I have.
Do you like it?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's awesome. I just occasionally will pick it up, but it's great. I love all things. I will have like a chickpea salad and then a thing of hummus next to it.
Yeah.
Like I am all for chickpeas. They're great.
What is hummus?
Chickpeas.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
Oil. Yeah, garlic.
Yeah.
It's
or mix in whatever you like. Little roasted sun-dried tomato. Little
dark chocolate,
little pesto, mm-hmm. little dark chocolate.
Yeah,
I it's a great food. I you know
I said tahini, but meant tahini. Yeah,
it yeah, you know, everything as you get older, we've talked about this before. Everything you read, like, you want to lose weight, you want to sleep better, you want to have less headaches, Mediterranean diet, Mediterranean diet and water, Mediterranean diet and water, mm-hmm. vegetables, hummus,
so
chicken
and chickpeas.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mediterranean mm-hmm. diet. So I'm like, so a euro off a food truck? Does that count? No?
I mean, it should.
It should.
It should.
Greek. Mediterranean.
Mediterranean.
I know. I'm going to only eat pitas for the rest of my life.
Great.
So pizza all the time. Just pizza. Great.
That's what I heard.
I'm in.
Gracie Joe also said, I also heard you discussing with John Christ about the possibility of your children having a group text between the three of them. We were so happy to discover our three young adult children had a group text. It warmed my heart to think they were communicating with each other on a regular basis since they all live in different cities. My heart became a little less warm when I discovered the name they gave their group, the Nursing Home Planning Committee.
That's very creative.
It's very funny. You got mm-hmm. funny kids. Congrats. Mm-hmm. Mel, you want to read this one?
Yes.
Last one.
Adam said, snacks versus treats. Mel and Dustin, during the fair episode, you briefly described a trip to the 7-Eleven that included the stipulation to your kids that they could get a snack and a treat, but no Bev. I get what you mean by Bev, but please describe the difference between a snack and a treat in the Nickerson household. P.S. My wife and I loved your hour when you were in Cleveland with Steven Rogers. It was a thrill to get a pic with you, and my Don't Make Me Come Back There sticker is proudly on display in my office. So snack, treat, and Bev from the gas station. Yes, this is what we did on the 4th of July.
And went to our roof and watched the fireworks, yeah.
It cost us $11.
Yeah.
So I believe the treat, what did we say? They could get a snack and a treat, but no.
What's the difference between a snack and a treat?
A snack is salty.
Yeah.
It's not ice cream. It's not candy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mainly chips, crackers.
Jerky.
Dried
popcorn.
Fruit.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the sweet is the sugary one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the ice cream, candy.
It's kind of, in my mind, it's food versus candy, you know? That being said, if they wanted to get like a donut or a brownie, I would probably put that in the sweets category, but that's not what they're getting.
I think it's just the sugar ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, mostly it's chips. Mostly it's chips.
It's mostly chips,
chips,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chips or candy. Is what are the difference there? Yeah, because if we say no, that's not true. Because if we say dessert, they might go look at the Good Humor or whatever
ice cream,
yeah, thing in the corner.
Mm-hmm. But it's fun though. Yeah, it's fun when you get to pick something out.
I mean, if we let them get a snack, you know? A treat, and a Bev, $100. Five people getting snacks, treats, Bevs.
I mean, it's a little more affordable at the gas station.
Racking up these 7-Eleven points. Have you ever redeemed a 7-Eleven point? I think they have like one of the worst point systems.
I think they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Well, all right. Well, let's get to our weekend recap. So Mel, we had kind of a freaky Friday this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mel was on the road. Mel was out seeing some fam, and I was home. It was an interesting thing. So you left Thursday and you came home Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You've had the craziest ups and downs emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've just had a lot going on the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you've had a lot going on the last 2 weeks. But so it was interesting because you left Thursday and I had Thursday night off. Off as much as I have off. And then Friday and Saturday and Sunday I had shows with Tay. But I had them in San Diego on Friday, Saturday, so it kind of worked out nicely, and that I was able to, quote-unquote, watch the kids. What I realized is that, because, you know, I'm not babysitting. These are my children.
And I don't leave you a list. Like, I leave more notes for, like, family that watches our kids.
Yeah.
I leave a list for our kids. But, yeah, I was kind of like, I I gave you a couple suggestions for if you have time to do this around the house.
Yeah.
Do it.
What I realize, I've told you this before, like, I have every ability to take care of the kids, but some of my instincts aren't as trained up as yours.
Right.
And I'm trying to get better, but like I do forget to feed the living creatures in our home.
Yes.
That's the main thing. And some of that comes from my own childhood.
Yeah.
Where I've never been a regular meal person. I've never been a breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah.
I didn't have that as a kid, and I didn't have it. I don't need it as an adult.
Right.
And so I don't think in terms of, I wonder if everybody's hungry.
Sure.
And I did. Nobody went hungry, and everything is still alive. The three kids, the two cats, and the bunny are still living. But I did be like, oh, I forgot to. On Saturday morning, I woke up and I was like, oh no, how long has the cat's water bowl been empty?
Yeah.
You know, I forgot to.
Yeah, it was also a bit of a heat wave, too. Yeah.
It was a bit of a heat wave. So they were drinking a little more water than they normally would.
Drinking out of the toilet.
But nobody was hungry. But you are so good about. And you're just so good about anticipating their hunger.
Yeah. Definitely like a nurturing element. And
I'll just give a practical example. On Tuesdays, when we record this podcast on Tuesday mornings, when our kids are not in school, you're thinking, we need to get home and make sure Claire, who's home, has eaten.
Yeah, and, you know, she's 11, but she is kind of like you. Like, she wouldn't eat right away when she gets up in the morning.
Yeah.
And then she would have, like, a bowl of trail mix at, like, 11.
Yeah.
But if she forgets to have that snack, then she, like, she might, like, just kind of crash out, her words. You know? Like, because, you know, her blood sugar, like, she doesn't eat anything.
Right.
You know, and then she, like, loses her mind.
Right.
You're like, hey, can you put your shoes on? You know?
Yeah. That is true.
The first demand of, like, did you brush your teeth? Like, you know, like, so, like, the baseline of, like, you know, meeting her hunger needs.
She's
just a little bit less, you know, our son, he would just go find food.
Yeah.
But she's like, I'm fine. I don't need to eat. And then she waits too long.
Yeah. I will say.
That's the crash out.
In my defense, and not that this is an argument, but like our kids don't demand or expect. Our kids don't come to me that often and go, I'm hungry. Because if they did come to me and say, I'm hungry, I would happily provide. But you anticipate the hunger.
Yeah.
And no, I'm like, you got to ask for me to cook. And that's
it. It's a difference,
But some of it's because you are more structured on your meals, too.
I am, yeah.
Dare I say, rigid on your own meals.
I am, yeah. I'm like Claire. I gotta eat, or I'm gonna, like, get...
But you can't...
Hangry.
Yeah, but you are like Claire, but Claire will...
But Claire's like you, and she won't go get her own food.
Yeah. But you will. You'll stop everything for it. You know? Like, this is...
Well,
I have to eat.
I do think, No, I mean, I'm just more the home manager.
That's true.
You know? Like, so I've been doing this for 18
years.
Well,
you've also been, you've been feeding these childrens. You've been feeding these childs. You have been feeding these children since conception.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I came home from a birthday brunch. And it was like 11:30 and you were getting on a flight at like 1:30. And I was like, oh, Claire hasn't eaten. And I was
like, yeah, it was a fight. It was a big fight.
But there's just like, I get it. Not everybody's hungry first thing in the morning. And families are different with food and meals.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
So... like when you're on the road, like it's going to be your food schedule and eating is going to be way different.
Yeah.
You know,
I now like when, cause of fights, like if you're out and I'm supervising the children, I will feed them not because they're hungry, but so you don't get mad at me when you get home. That is a little bit, but that is a good motivator for me.
Yeah.
And that you're like, Melissa wants me to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not hungry. They don't, Or yeah. Maybe they're hungry, but they're not asking.
Sure.
But part of your mindset.
Mama bear.
Yeah, you're like,
I said, you're home. You need to feed them.
And I'm like, well, I ate. Does that count for anything?
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to get better.
Yeah, it's tough.
So anyways.
It's tough. Cats and the kids are alive.
The cats and the kids are still alive. Mm-hmm. So San Diego and LA shows were great. San Diego, 3 shows at the Civic with Tay were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So good. Love that room. Love that.
They were
love being
great
there.
Crowds.
And then the Greek on Sunday was like an all-time experience. It was so fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Greek is... It's like Rhyme and Greek. Those are it for me now as far as like these are the coolest, best venues I've ever played.
Well, and we were a little worried, like it's outside.
It's LA.
The sun had to set. It's a Sunday.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah, it was hot until the sun set. But it was amazing.
When I sat, we walked around a little bit before and I was like, I knew it was going to be good because the Greek... And I don't think this is true. I think this is partially true of the Bowl, but I think this is very much true of the Greek. Everyone is very happy when they get in there because it is so nice. You've been, right? Yeah. Like, it's so... The ambiance is so great. You're in the woods. You're in the middle of Griffith Park, you know, and it's just such a beautiful venue. It's an iconic thing. We went and watched a lot of Taylor's Hour and laughed. It was so good. And so it was like, it was great. It was like an all-time... Taylor posted our stories.
Magical.
It was a really, really nice night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and I think that's the thing with live entertainment. Like, it can't be recreated. Mm. You know? Like, you can watch a video.
Yeah.
But, like, to see it live is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
I mean, hopefully, I've devoted my life to it. So.
Patty's. We need you to be right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Patty's not happy about it, but. all right, let's get down to. We got one email that's going to be a launching point for us here. Mel, you want to read this?
All right. This is from Lydia. Hey, guys, I'm new to the podcast and love the show. I'm currently working my way through the previous episodes, so I'm not sure if you've talked about this before, but I wanted to get your thoughts and ratings on how difficult it was transitioning from 0 to 1 kid, 1 to 2 kids, and 2 to 3 kids. Also curious on your thoughts about your kids' age gaps. My husband and I have 1 baby and keep going back and forth about if we want to have another kid close in age or wait a little bit longer.
Good question.
All right. These are great questions, Lydia. I wish it was like super simple, but I do think that like every family situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
But to speak more broadly, to speak more specifically, our kids first are our oldest 2 are 2.5 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then the gap between our 2nd and 3rd kids is 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 7.5 years. We have 3 children.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different than some families. We used to joke that our 3rd child was moving from Seattle to San Diego.
Yeah. We didn't have a kid during that period because we were moved 1,200 miles.
Yeah. That was our 3rd child, we said. Thing. Yeah. And Dustin and I kind of always, he was in a family of 2. I was from a family of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of joked that we met in the middle with 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we did think quite a bit about whether we were going to have a 3rd or not. Yeah.
We did not even think for 1 second if we were going to have a 4th. That was never considered.
Yeah. And Andy's got 4 over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have 4. Yeah.
Yep.
Under 12. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So let me say... 2.5 years was pretty good. It wasn't as crazy as like a 1 or 1.5 year gap. You know, some families will have 2 back to back.
Yeah.
And it's almost like having twins. But you still kind of had 2 in diapers and naps and sleepless nights. We have an oldest boy and then a girl. So that's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been super competitive, but they've remained close.
Yeah.
With their age gap there. And then the 4.5 years later, a little tough in that Claire can feel left out. from the older siblings because they're more close in life stage.
Yeah.
And I do get why some people do the fourth, because then it's kind of two and two.
Yeah, which we've waited too long if you want to add a, hey, you need to play, buddy? You'll be 12.
Yeah.
You know, 12-year-olds love babies.
Yeah, Claire doesn't have, like, the sibling that's just, like, right next to her in age.
Yeah, she won't have, she'll never go to
benefits and
she'll never go to high school. Like, you went to high school with your older sibling and your younger siblings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Claire and Joel and Gloria will went to high school together for a year. And the year that Claire or Gloria graduates is when Claire goes to high school.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. So,
which,
as far as college payments,
it is nice that we get to space those out a bit.
Yeah.
There'll be a little gap there.
Yeah. My family, it's 3 years apart. Yeah. And your sister's like 4 years older than you?
2.5.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I went the wrong way. So, as far as the transitions from one to two kids, zero to one, two to three, if I was going to kind of rank those, I think the most dramatic change is zero to one.
Correct.
Because you're not operating around a child's, like, schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just go to a movie, you eat out, you know.
I talked about this in my book.
No child care.
Yeah, one of the biggest wake-up call to me, and this is embarrassing to say, the biggest wake-up call to me as a parent was, I was like, oh, no, I can't see the new Thor movie.
I'm gonna have to plan that out.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I have a baby now. I can't just leave.
Yeah.
Mel and I wanted to go see the new Thor, but we got this baby here now.
I remember seeing 300 late at night.
Pregnant.
Yeah. 300.
Yeah.
But the point
still
being,
a fun watch. Yeah. It's still like, a very fun watch.
Yeah. I was like, oh,
great
man.
Cast. Yeah. Michael Fassbender's in that. People forget Michael Fassbender's in that movie.
That's right.
Michael Fassbender's in that movie.
I haven't seen it in 19 years.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But anyways, I was sitting in that movie theater, like, super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Feeling my baby kick around and being like, well, not going to do this for a while.
What a one to go out on, 300.
Yeah.
300 of all things.
Yeah.
As he does the Sparta kick, exactly. Our kid kicks, you're like, oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I don't want my baby to be a Spartan.
Blood spills, your water breaks. It's a very dramatic movie to go into labor. The screaming would fit right in.
The truth is that we watched Ocean's 11 before we went to the hospital with Joel. Hilarious.
And then in the middle of the night, you woke up and you're like, it's time to go. You know what's so funny is that is, of course, I remember our children being born, but I have the most vivid memories of Joel, our oldest.
Absolutely.
I remember you waking me up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the exact feeling. I remember grabbing the stuff. I remember your water broke in our little Hyundai Elantra driving in.
Yeah.
I remember the back labor. I remember pushing on you know, when you were having that. Mm-hmm. I remember all of it extremely vividly.
Yeah.
And each child after that, even though they were more recent memories, they are very blurry.
Yeah.
You're like, what I remember of Gloria's the most is she was born the day before Halloween, which means the next day everyone came in Halloween costumes, like the nursing staff. They're like, hey, there's this witch who's going to give a needle in your foot. You're like, maybe don't. Maybe this isn't the environment for this.
Yeah. Yeah. They were all... Yeah, it was Dracula.
It was very unprofessional. You got Dracula going like, we might have to do an emergency C-section. What?
The Teletubbies running the anesthesia.
Yeah, you're like, what?
Right, you're like, but anyways, so zero to one, kids, very dramatic.
Yeah.
One to two, kids, very difficult, but not as hard as zero to one, because you already have, you know, a crib and you already have like a schedule with little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then two to three, much harder because, you know, as they say, like you go from man to man to zone defense.
Yeah.
And it was a lot harder. Couple of reasons, like mainly because, you know, the little are siblings, they're still very needy.
Yeah.
You know, and they feel very like, what's going on? Why was mom in the hospital? Like, who's this person watching me?
Yeah.
You know, like, I want my parents back home.
Yeah.
They're distracted with this baby. And
lining up childcare so you can go have a baby is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, childcare is hard.
Yeah,
childcare to go have a baby.
I need a sitter. Push a baby out of me.
The craziest part was my sister and I had our babies on the same day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there was both of our third children, and we both had them the same day, which meant, like, our family was going in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
And mine was, like, an induction, but hers was, like, she just always had her babies early.
Yeah.
So we were really, like, the resources were thinning.
Yeah.
Thinning out here. Two babies in one day.
Yeah.
Same family. So they're twin cousins. The hardest part about, one of the hardest parts about our third kid was that she was tongue-tied. It took us 3 weeks to figure that out. A mom at my daughter's preschool figured it out for me. So, God bless the village, you know? So I had fed Claire. I was at the preschool and Claire was screaming her guts out. And the mom was like, I don't think she's still hungry.
Yeah.
And it was just exactly what we needed.
This is like that camper story that you told on Behind the Scenes. Like, sometimes just somebody shows up and helps you. And that was like a guardian angel. Some mom just going, I think your kid is hungry. And you ended up finding she was tongue tied.
And she would fall asleep while she's trying to eat and then scream. Like, yeah, it was terrible. So it was a really rough start with our third kid. So, you know, these are just a lot of things you're not going to be able to control.
Yeah.
These children of yours. But do your best and hopefully take all the favors you can get. Yeah. When they're born. And then not just that, but just their whole childhood.
Yeah. I would say. So, right. So the more kids you have, the less flexible your family is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's harder to move. It's harder to do things.
Yeah.
Like when you're just a couple, you're just like a car enjoying the open freeway. And then you have one kid and you're a semi-truck with one trailer on it. We're moving a little slower, right? But we're still getting around.
Stopping a lot more.
Stopping a lot more than we used to. But we're still getting around pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Now we have a second kid. Now we have a second trailer. So it's when you see a semi-truck with two trailers. We're on the freeway still. We're moving slow. Slow and steady. Mm-hmm. If we're going to change a lane, we're going to put that blinker on for a while. It's going to be a whole situation. You kind of got to watch out for us. But we are going to be on the road with you.
Yeah.
Once you get to more than two kids, you're so slow moving and everything is so laborious for you that you're no longer on the road. You're a train with how many ever, what do they call them? Carts.
Cargo.
With how many
train cars. Yeah.
You are now a train with how many ever train cars you have behind you.
Mm-hmm.
3, 4, 5, 6. It doesn't matter. You can pretty much only go in straight lines anymore.
Yeah.
And if you want to merge, you're not even...
You need a schedule.
That's exactly... You need a schedule. And not only are you not on the freeway anymore, you're like kind of running alongside the freeway now. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, a train. I've never...
So all your single or married friends you're like waving at.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're on your own coordination. You can only cross paths with other trains at that point.
Exactly.
You don't get to get in the single car lane or the two car lane. It's just like, hey, we're over here.
And people look at families that big the same way that they look at trains. They're like, what is it, the 1800s?
We still have those?
I didn't even know those were still around. A family of five. Is that steam powered? And then when you do enter the city, you're like blocking traffic.
You're turning heads.
Everyone's mad at you. Everyone's mad at you because every of the signs have to go down. The city shuts down because your family of five is a train cutting through the city. And they're like, gah, I can't believe they allow these in the cities.
100%.
They got their own restaurants on those cars. They got their own schools.
Yeah. That kept me up all night.
Yeah.
I heard it in the middle of the night. You know, they really shouldn't let it be this close to houses. People we got to work in the morning.
Yeah, runaway kids jumping on those families.
Yeah.
Oh, they need a place to
live. Yeah.
A whole different lifestyle.
It's just it is a totally different lifestyle when you have that many kids and you're just kind of doing your, and it is very hard to just kind of integrate with society.
If you want to stay on the freeway, just stop at two kids.
Yeah, because we were up in LA this week and we're seeing the two kid families, seven and six or seven and five. Hawk and Nelson, whatever their names are. sorry. Remember Hawk Nelson? That was Orange County. That's an Orange County family. Yeah. Hawk and Nelson.
No.
They're zipping around.
Stuart and Skylar. Presley.
Yeah. Sky and Tree.
Yeah, Sky and Tree.
They name children after elements.
They can still go to brunch.
Yeah. And they're zipping around.
That's nice for them.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That they've integrated. They have a... they have a child who's three and has integrated brunch into their lifestyle. We don't have that child. We never had a single one of those children. Yeah. Also, brunch is so expensive. What are you doing?
Pancakes are so easy to make. Costs a dollar. But anyway.
So I hope that helps. Yeah,
good luck to you, Lydia. There's only so much you can control and plan out, but I hope we helped.
Yeah. What about you, Andy? What are your...
Going one to two for us was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because it really was like you're playing, like it's like you're playing with one ball and having fun, like hitting it against the wall and like, oh, this is a good time. This is fun. And then someone's just like, oh, here's just two. Now you have to juggle. Like you have to juggle. Like you don't get to now just hit one. It's like you're forced to learn to juggle.
Yeah.
And then three becomes like four square, where then it's just like you're having you're moving that around and all that, and then eventually with
and
four,
one wants to be the king square or whatever.
Yeah.
There's always one.
Yeah.
I'm exactly. server.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. You're and out. Then and yeah. then with me a four, now it's just dodgeball. It's like
funny.
Teams, and we're just like everyone's just kind of figuring that.
Yeah.
All of that, but that is what the action is like for us. I mean, yeah, one to two was really hard, and like at that time I was working more of like a 9-to-5-ish kind of job, so it was Mercedes was at home with the two, and that was new. And our first has Down syndrome and adopted, so. Our second was only 18 months apart. Mm-hmm. So they're really close. And it is, like you said, like having twins. Like it really felt like that was kind of like that. But three for us was easy. And we had always planned on four. So we were that family.
Yeah.
And so it was really like when three came, it was like, oh, I guess we're going to move on to four. Like we decided if we ended at two and it just kind of that's how it went, we'd be okay. But once we went to three, it was like, well, now we're going to four.
Yeah.
So that was just the destiny. And it was, it was preemptive. It was chosen. So naturally we kind of just said, there's crazy and there's chaos and they're just, those are best friends. And, you kind of, it's just all, when you get to that point, there really is kind of no difference. In my opinion, three and four was like the same.
Yeah.
But my fourth and youngest is.
So I'm telling you.
It's a good time.
Three, anything after three, it's just another.
Yeah. That's it.
Cargo car.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's hope that helps, Lydia. Thanks everybody for listening. Really appreciate you guys. And
we'll
see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Hey everybody, we want to give a special shout out and thanks to our As Essential As Oils level patrons. That's $25 up a month and up. You get it. Thank you everybody. It means a lot to us. That is Adam Bush.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finlin.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jen Thurk.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Norman Perron.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Also, if that's Perrin, I'm sorry. Also, Preston and Rachel Wilson. I'm sorry if we messed these up. We're trying our best.
You're up.
Raina Camps.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Stephen Menya.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
And Tiffany Payne. Bye.
Thank you.